Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What's going on, KOP Nation? It is Sunday night. It's November 23rd, 2025. We're not even 24 hours removed from the end of AEW Full Gear 2025. But I had to get on here. I had to go live. I had to get the thoughts, my thoughts I had on the show, off my chest and out to you all. As you can see, it's just me on the screen tonight if you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube. And if you're not, please hit that subscribe button, that like button, that follow button at Kicking Out Pod on all social media platforms. So if you're watching, as you can see, I'm the only one here. So that's why I'm going a little early tonight, tried to get the word out on social media. So honestly, I was bored. Didn't really want to wait till 8:30 PM to get on here and chat with y'all. Paul, as a lot of you who listen or watch the podcast every week, his work schedule on Sundays a lot of times conflicts with the podcast. So he's working tonight in Austin, had some family obligations as it's one of his son's birthdays or birthdays coming up, and they were doing something for one of his son's birthdays. So I was like, hey, no problem. I will go solo because I got a lot of thoughts on last night's show and I want to get it out to everybody and be on the lookout this week. I'll be recording my next piece of content for the Who's Next series. I want to get that out before Dynamite on Wednesday night because I think it's fun to try to predict who's going to be the next talent to dethrone each current champion AEW before the follow-up Dynamite after that said pay-per-view, because after that Dynamite, then it's a little easier to kind of predict and know what direction the feuds are going and what they're setting up. So I like to do it before that Dynamite following a pay-per-view, just because it's even harder to predict, and I think it's more fun that way. We got Majin in the house. He's a loyal one. He's a loyal one. He said he's still watching the show, but it's okay. And he said we don't expect Paul anyway. Steffi's in the house. What's going on, Steffi? And Majin said we need the wife guessing things. I know. Honestly, I almost got her to join the pod tonight. Problem being, she halfway paid attention to some of the show last night, and I don't know. I guess she just didn't feel like joining, but I almost convinced her, but it's coming, Majin. I'm going to get her either live on the pod or we're definitely going to do some content. So Steffi said, just finished treatment. Hope treatment went well. And back to Majin, your comment about still watching the show. First off, I really enjoyed the pay-per-view last night. I thought it was a really good pay-per-view, one of their better ones in 2025. My one complaint, and I know this is an AEW staple anymore, we've come to just accept it, but I thought it got over too late. Got over, I think, if I'm not mistaken, about 12:30 p.m. Eastern time, or 12:30 a.m., I guess, Eastern time this morning, Sunday. That's a little late, I think. If they're, you know, I got no problem Tony wanting to get us our money's worth of a pape, especially when we're, you know, purchasing it for $49.99, or if you go through Max, $39.99 if you're a subscriber to HBO Max. I get it, but and I have no problem with the pay-per-view going 4 to 5 hours. I just wish he'd start him a little earlier. Started at 7, the main card, instead of 8. Or, you know, I honestly didn't mind the afternoon ones when, and I know he doesn't want to go earlier in the afternoon all the time, but when they had to because of the counter programming of WWE, I thought that worked out pretty good too. So that was my one big complaint about it, was I got to be honest, I was having a little trouble staying awake towards the last three matches, but I did. So Majin said, I don't stream it live as they monitor them. Steffi said, yes, no spoilers. And Majin, oh, they obviously will. FTR will probably drop it to them when the CNC Wrestling Factory returns. And that is to Nathaniel Crenshaw, 7839's comment here on YouTube. I think Copeland and Christian will be tag team champions in 2026. Yeah, I definitely think I think that's where we're going. I think that's a big reason why we saw FTR dethrone Brodito last night, in which I thought was a great match. Arguably the match of the night, arguably one of the best matches in 2025, especially if we're just talking about tag team matches. So I thought that was the right call last night, putting the straps on FTR. And embarrassingly enough, myself, Shep Pluggo of Love Wrestling's Between Two Beards, as you all may have tuned into when we went live Friday night with our AEW prediction show, we predicted the 9 main card matches, and the FTR match was one all three of us got right. That was one of only 3 matches out of 9 I got correct. Shep, who is our reigning defending Kicking Out Podcast predictions champion, only got 2. We were dethroned once again by one of the beard boys, but it wasn't JPJ. It was Pluggo this time. Pluggo, who usually gets in last place in our predictions when in the past when we've had him on. He got 6 of 9 matches right and smoked us. He had 28 points. I had 13. Shep only had 8. That's the first time I can, I mean, when Paul and I started this podcast back in 2021, we started doing the prediction shows and predicting all the match results for main card match results for the AEW pay-per-views. I don't ever recall going back to the start in 2021 of somebody not getting double-digit points correct. So, yeah, we just got smoked. Smoked. But I will say that's part of the reason I enjoyed last night's show so much. Not that Shep and I got smoked because it was really embarrassing, and Shep even threatened not to be on the pod the rest of the year, which I think he was just kind of being a sore loser last night because he was real pissed off. But it was more so, I thought Tony was as unpredictable with his booking last night as he's ever been on an AEW pay-per-view. But most, if not all, the results made sense if you looked at the stories going on or the stories going in to the pay-per-view. Some of the raw results changed the stories coming out of the pay-per-view. So I like that. I don't like my wrestling to be predictable. That's why, you know, when AEW came around in 2019, it saved my wrestling fandom because I was getting so, the WWE product was getting so stale for me at the time because it was so predictable. I could look at a card and predict every match correctly almost every night, whether that was a Raw, SmackDown, or a pay-per-view, or I guess PLE as they call them now. But AEW hasn't been that way. Now, I will say it was getting more predictable the last year or two, but last night, man, I think that was the most, I mean, Vegas got some of the matches wrong as far as their odds are concerned. And this is a, let's be honest, a predetermined sport, predetermined entertainment. So pretty wild stuff, but that's why I came away last night. I'm like, I really enjoyed that pay-per-view because a lot of results happened that we didn't see coming. So all I know, Majin, beating myself up about it. Yeah, Pluggo. And Pluggo's celebrating. And he, Shep and myself, we're going to Dynamite a week from Wednesday, the December 3rd episode in Fishers, Indiana. And that's where the belts get exchanged hands, live and in person. So there's a good chance that Pluggo will be filming some content that night with the KOP strap over his shoulder. So we're just going to have to try to get it back in full gear. Daniel Crenshaw, do you guys feel bad for Brodito? I don't. I mean, they lost to a really good tag team in FTR. And to be honest, I think this did more for both Bandido and Brody King than anything either one of them had done so far in AEW. I think they're both coming out of this tag team as bigger stars. I think it's a tag team they can revisit, assuming they don't just keep tagging. You know, they can both go their own ways in singles, but when they want to meet back up, they can meet back up in the future again and take on different tag teams. So, I definitely think Bandido is a bigger star in AEW. And I think it helped Brody out a lot too, to get away from the, what was the House of Black, then the Hounds of Hell. And I know Buddy's injury did a lot of that. But I think that was it. He was able to show a different side of himself and show his talents off a little more. I think both guys will probably be in the Continental Classic coming up starting on Wednesday. I mean, we did find out last night that Takeshita, Okada, and Kyle Fletcher, all of the Don Callis family, are going to be in the Continental Classic. That's three big heavy hitters there, so we're off to a good start. I wish Tony would come out, and I think he's going to actually tomorrow and Tuesday already come out and show the bracket off for the Classic. And he should have probably done that last week, to be honest, but I think he waits till the pay-per-views are over to make sure everybody's healthy going into the field. So, Majin, that you guys didn't see coming. Nostradamus Majin here saw all the outcomes. Okay. All right. Yeah. You saw all the outcomes. All right. Maybe more than I did and more than Shep did. But if you saw a perfect card coming last night, if you saw all nine of those matches going the way they did, then you need to go buy yourself a lot of ticket, my friend. So, Majin says, Brody needs a singles push. He's so over. I love the guy in both teams, but it's time. Yep. I agree. And I think the Continental Classic could be a great, great way to push him. I mean, he got to push through it a little bit last year, but I think this year you can really strap a rocket to the guy's back and push him forward. I mean, I don't necessarily know if he needs to win it, but he can definitely advance pretty far in it. So, but Full Gear. And one thing I wanted to bring up Friday night in our prediction show, and I forgot, I always like to guess what's going to be the opening match of the pay-per-views, because we usually know going into it more times than not what the main event's going to be. But you could argue a lot of different matches should have been the opener last night, but they opened with Pac and Darby, which was a fun match, hard-hitting match. Darby, like always, had some crazy spots. In the end, Pac cheated with the baseball bat to get the win over Darby, and that's one right away. I should have known there when he won and Pluggo got that prediction right. And I lost my 5-pointer and Shep lost his 9-pointer in saying Darby was going to win. Should have known we were going to be in for a long night from a prediction standpoint right then and there. But I do like Pac winning from a storyline aspect. And I'll get more into that why when I talk about Moxley and O'Reilly's match. But good match. And Darby, let's be honest, he can take losses. He's a big enough star within the company. A loss doesn't hurt him, where a guy like Pac, If he lost a match like this, then maybe you don't take his character as seriously. So, good stuff to open up the night, though, I thought, in that match. The next match was the women's four-way tag. All the remaining teams in the semifinals for the women AEW Women's Tag Team Tournament were involved in this match. And the winning team, their reward was getting to name the stipulation in their semifinal match. And we saw the Timeless Love Bombs, Mina Shirakawa, Toni Storm, get the win. So they will get to decide what stipulation their match against Marina Shafir and Megan Bain will be. So that will be very interesting. I have no idea what those ladies might come up with. But, Majin, you are right. Technically, they opened with a continuation of the CMLL Trios titles, which was a beautiful touch. They did that last month at WrestleDream with the tag match between Jet Speed and FTR. They did it last night with the CMLL Trios titles match. And it was awesome that Okada didn't show up until the pay-per-view was actually on the air instead of the tailgate brawl. So I love the continuation of the Okada-Takeshita feud, their hostility with each other, the friction. I can't wait to see those guys get in the ring to mix it up. And maybe we'll get it at the C2, we actually probably will get it eventually in the Continental Classic. Majin also said Darby had second-degree burns, too. It didn't make sense for him to win. Very, very good point. Dude's insane. Puts his body on the line for not only his own self to prove that he can do it to himself, but for all of our enjoyment and entertainment as well. It's going to be interesting. I don't know when these women's tag matches are going to take place. I don't know if we're going to get one or both of them Wednesday night on Dynamite. My guess is he probably is going to split one up, split them up, put one on Dynamite, one on Collision, which I believe Collision is going to be taped Wednesday night, but it's going to air on Thanksgiving night because Tony being a wrestling super fan like he is and a traditionalist and kind of a historian in a way, he always talks about how great of a tradition pro wrestling on Thanksgiving has been in the past. So kind of wants to keep that going. But I mean, I thought this women's match was a tough one to predict going in. That's why I predicted the Sisters of Sin. Shep had the Willow and Harley Cameron. And then Plugo had Timeless Love Bombs. He had for five. So right away, Plugo, boom, hits on Pac, hits on the Timeless Love Bombs. We at least I knew that Shep and I were in big trouble. So, but a good match overall from all the ladies. I think highly of all eight of those ladies in that match. So, yeah, I thought it was fine. And Megan Bain took the pin, so which is something to keep an eye on going into that semifinal match. Babes of Wrath. Thank you. I knew it had something to do with Wrath. I couldn't think of the first part, so I just went with their ring names. So, we were screwed right off the bat. And then after the gauntlet, it was over. It was over. I mean, you know, I had Ricochet winning, but for two. Shep had Lashley for one or two, I think two. But Plugo, which me and Shep, especially Shep, made fun of Plugo for picking Ricochet for 8 points Friday night. But he looked like a genius after the gauntlet. So, like, four matches into the pay-per-view, I text Paul on the side, and I even might have texted Plugo away from our group message. And I'm like, this thing's wrapped. This thing's over. It's over. It's just going to be a result of what's the in margin like. So crazy. So third match of the night was the AEW World Tag Team Championship match. Brody King and Bandido versus FTR. Of course, Big Stoke was alongside them. Crowd was getting on him, reminding Big Stoke that he can't get no hoes. He took a dive spot from Brody King, which Brody King kind of missed. I mean, hit him a little bit, but I'm glad commentary, like, they didn't try to fudge it or act like he hit that move perfectly. They acknowledged the fact that he only got him a little bit, but it was enough to knock Stokely down for the rest of the match. But there was a couple spots throughout the night, Tope Suicida spots and some other spots that talent didn't quite hit the move 100%. Like Nick Jackson, when he went diving out in the Million Dollar Trios match, completely missed the spot. They acknowledged that. Didn't act, you know, in the past, like, especially with a company like WWE with their commentary, they would have disregarded the fact that he missed them and they would have act like he hit them and stuff. So I like that touch there. Nathaniel here on YouTube said he enjoyed the tag team titles match. I did as well. I knew it was going to be a good one. I mean, all of these guys can go. And say what you will about FTR. I know they got their haters out there, but these guys step up whenever the titles are on the line, especially at a pay-per-view. They step up and have good matches. There was a lot of false finishes. Bandido especially kept kicking out of everything. I was loving it just when he thought he was done. He'd kick out. So, but in the end, Dax Harwood got the pin on Bandido for the win. And I like Bandido, you know, he was kind of like realizing he was going to lose when it was both Cash and Dax in there when he was pretty wobbly, just flips him off. Good touch there before he got hit by the Shatter Machine. So good stuff there. Nathaniel said he thinks Copeland and Christian beats FTR World's End or Revolution, maybe All In. I don't think they'll keep it clear to All In. I think if I'm not mistaken, that's in August next year. In London, I don't see them keeping the tag belts. I think they keep it longer than just a month, so I don't think they'll lose it at World's End. I could see Revolution, though. They haven't announced the date of Revolution, but I believe it's going to be or the location, I should say, but I believe it's going to be in March. They usually don't really have anything in January as far as pay-per-views are concerned. February, they're doing Grand Slam again over in Australia, so that'll kind of be their big show of that month. So I'm assuming Revolution will be in March. And, yeah, I could see them keeping the titles till then. That would make sense. And losing them to Copeland Christian, that makes sense to me. Modern said, Big Stoke can't get no hoes, but even an injured war daddy can get hoes. No lies detected there. Yeah, Steffi, I have not seen this death match that you and Majin are talking about here in the comments, so I'm going to have to go check that out. Yeah. I'll have to go check that out. Hurt Syndicate made their way to the ring because Shelton and Bobby were 1 and 2 in the Casino Gauntlet match for the inaugural AEW National Champion. We knew they were going to be in it. We knew Ricochet was going to be in it, who he joined up next. I love the way they had Ricochet come down. And even though he had Toa Leona and Bishop Khan come in and help him take out the Syndicate, they weren't actually involved in the match. So I liked how they had Ricochet in there against the Syndicate. And then eventually you had all the Death Riders coming in. It was like Ricochet's taking a beating left and right, fighting against all odds. And you just had the feeling, you're like, still in the end, this dude's going to find a way to pull this out. And that's exactly what happened. You know, Claudio came in, Daniel Garcia came in, Orange Cassidy came in, Yuta came in. Then you had both Kevin Knight and Speedball Mike Bailey of Jet Speed came in. You had Mark Davis of the Callis family come in. And there was that good spot I really enjoyed and got a good laugh at when all of the Death Riders were running to the corner and hitting clotheslines on, I don't remember who was in the corner at the time. And then Ricochet jumps in the middle and acts like he's part of the Death Riders, only for Claudio to give him an uppercut. I laughed out loud at that. I thought that was a really good, really good spot. Majin Tanner being grossed out challenge. Over, under, I'm placing that 5. Last night, then the blood, actually, the blood didn't bother me last night. And I don't know where this notion of that I hate blood. Like, I don't like to bleed myself. I don't like to see my own blood or blood in person. And sometimes I think matches can get a little over bloody for my liking, but I don't know where this notion came. I think Paul started it saying, I don't like blood matches. I mean, there was a lot of blood. 3 of the last 4 matches last night, both talent bled. 3 of the last 5. Moxley, O'Reilly, Briscoe and Fletcher, and then, of course, Hangman and Joe. They all bled. I mean, a lot of bleeding. I saw IWC, some people complained about that when you had so much blood and blood and guts. Why have blood here? Blood's fine as long as it makes sense story-wise. So it was under that, Majin. I'm sure I got grossed out a couple times. I can't remember exactly. Maybe 2 or 3 times, maybe. But I don't remember any exact spots. So, yeah. So you're hammering it over. You're on then. Steph says classic ECW. Yeah, good comparisons. ECW. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. You meant during the death match. Okay. Yeah. You said you're placing that 5. Okay. Death match. Sure. That might be a little uncomfortable for me, but like last night's blood wasn't, but okay. You're talking about this death match I need to watch. Okay. I get what you're saying. You'll have to report back. You guys know the match a lot better than I do since I've never watched it. So you're probably going to be right. But, Daddy Magic was also in this match in the Gauntlet, which I loved. He took Garcia out. I loved them tying that story in. Ricochet in the end hit Kevin Knight with the spear gun for the win. So he's the inaugural AEW National Champion. I like the look of the belt. It's designed a lot like the National Championship and the NWA used to look. I have no problem with Ricochet being the first title holder. Now we'll see. What they do with him, and we'll see where this title goes, how to utilize the title, where they value the title. Because I still think AEW has too many titles, in my opinion. So Garcia did get a taste. Daddy Mag, so underrated. So underrated. Steffi said this was the match that made her a fan. Okay. I like it. Definitely got to check it out then. Moxley, Kyle O'Reilly, no holds barred match. I looked like an idiot on this one. I put 8 points on Mox. I even said, why did Kyle O'Reilly pick a no holds barred stipulation? Should have picked something like a submission match. Well, in the end, he got Mox to tap yet again, working that ankle. Kyle O'Reilly's star status in AEW has never been higher. Death Riders did take him out after, or maybe it was just Moxley, took him out after the match to his arms. So I know Tony Khan said in the press conference last night he was hoping to have O'Reilly in the Continental Classic. After the injury he sustained last night, he won't be in the Continental Classic. So It's that split of the Death Riders is coming, everybody. And it might be coming quicker than I figured because, I mean, Moxley's losing left and right. And even in the social media exclusive they did with him and Death Riders backstage, Pac had a strange look on his face. So he might be the next leader of the Death Riders, even though I was clamoring for a Marina on last week's pod. And Shep was saying Gabe Kidd, which I don't think Gabe Kidd's going to be a full-time member of AEW soon enough for that to happen. Majin, I know you've clamored for Claudio in the past to take over the Death Riders, but I think the way they're positioning Pac right now gave him that win over for Darby last night. He looks strong in blood and guts. He's really looked strong since he's returned. I think the split's coming. I hope they tease it a little longer than pull the trigger at like World's End. But honestly, if it happens, say Wednesday night at Dynamite, it wouldn't shock me either. So I would say it either happens Wednesday night Dynamite or they wait till World's End. I don't think it happens at another Dynamite or Collision in between there. Majin, see, I had Ricochet and Kyle winning these last two matches. So Nostradamus, Majin, Shreks again. I had Ricochet. I didn't have Kyle O'Reilly. I had Kyle Fletcher, but not O'Reilly. So, yeah. I mean, the only match Shep and I both got right that Plugo missed. No, Plugo got that right. The $1 million match. Never mind. So every match I got right last night, FTR, Ricochet, and Statlander, Plugo got right. So I couldn't make up any ground. Yeah. Amad said, Pac can cut compelling promos too. He has to be the guy off promo abilities. I agree. Yeah, he's by far the strongest on the mic there out of the remaining members of the Death Riders. So, but Kyle O'Reilly, man, gritty, tough performances out of this guy. And I like what they're doing with Kyle. Roderick Strong was also in the gauntlet. I know I moved on from that match, but I forgot to name him as a participant too. So, in Orange Cassidy and Roderick Strong ran down a check on O'Reilly as Yuta, Garcia, Claudio joined Moxley and Shafira at ringside. So, Mark Briscoe, Kyle Fletcher, no disqualification match for the TNT title. If Briscoe lost, he would have had to join the Don Callis family. But Mark Briscoe didn't lose, everybody. He found a way to pull it out, get his first AEW singles gold in capturing the TNT title. Very feel-good moment. Him looking up at the sky, obviously looking at his brother, up at his brother Jay, kind of saying, I did it. We did it. And I love the new redesign of the TNT title for him. I like that we're getting back to like customized TNT title design for each winner. I like that touch. With that said, Kyle Fletcher should have got like a pink one then for the Protostar. That would have been cool. But I had no problem with Briscoe going over Fletcher, even though we all three missed that match. We all three had Fletcher winning because we thought story-wise, it would be more entertaining for Briscoe to join the Callis family, kind of try to break them up from the inside. Obviously, they're not going in that direction. Where you go with Kyle Fletcher from here, that's a good question. Maybe he wins the C2 because he did very well as a TNT champion. And usually, you know, historically in pro wrestling, if you put a so-and-so, quote-unquote, mid-card title on a guy or gal, you're testing them to see if they're ready to step up for the big belt. And I think Fletcher is ready. I'm not saying he's going to be the next guy to take it off Samoa Joe or anything, but I think he's ready for the big time yet again. So it's going to be compelling. I mean, Kyle Fletcher's a guy he grew on me late last year. Really, you know, when Mark Davis got hurt last year, he kind of finally got his opportunity to show what he could do as a singles competitor. And he took that ball and he's ran with it ever since. And I'm real intrigued at what they're going to do with Kyle Fletcher for sure. Steffi says she has Kyle Fletcher, but she's very happy she lost. Maj said they're already breaking up from the inside, though, as far as the Callis family. He wouldn't have done much. And that's a good point. We saw more of that later in the night. They're starting to argue a lot. Majin had Briscoe as the only way to go. Early. See, that was one of those matches earlier in the week. I had Briscoe winning, and then I changed my mind. I get too inside my mind sometimes. I've struggled at these predictions in 2025. I'll be honest. I did really well in 2023 and most of 2024. But 2025, I've only came away from one pay-per-view as the champ. So I've really struggled. I'm going to have to find a new strategy in 2026. I'm bound to do so. But a lot of fun spots in this match. Going into the match, I'm like, did we really need a no holds bars match and a no DQ match? But this match had a lot more weapon use, a lot more table spots, had ladder spots, tack spots. Both guys bled. Heck, Briscoe was still bleeding in the post-media scrum afterwards. He kept having the towel off his head. So you could tell how appreciative he is to Tony Khan for this opportunity. So very, very cool. And it's cool to see that, like, in their X-Profile TNT, Mark Briscoe is our champion. Because if you know the whole reason Tony couldn't get the Briscoes on was all due to Warner Brothers Discovery, the executive not letting them be on for a comment that Jay made in the past that he had since apologized for and learned from. So to see that kind of come full circle was pretty darn cool. Was pretty darn cool. So Majin said he's at the tag team title match. I mean, dude, if you don't want me to, I mean, I'm sure you've already kind of seen maybe on social media what's happened, but if you don't want me to spoil anything for you, I don't blame you at all if you drop out from watching this live stream and go finish the show and then catch up on this with the video version or audio version later. No, I would not get my feelings hurt one bit. So I definitely would understand that. He said he's already seen some of the results. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys. You guys are real ones. You and Steffi and everybody that checks out these. I mean, it's just, especially with me just doing these solo, I can't imagine it's too entertaining, but you guys help. You guys help drive the show with the questions and comments. Cause when it's just me here talking into space and time, not too enjoyable even for me. So, but I want to make sure to get you guys content as much as I can every week with my schedule. So the Million Dollar Trios match, the Young Bucks and Josh Alexander versus Jurassic Express, Kenny Omega. Fun match. Great pop for Kenny coming out. Back to his old entrance music, which I know he kind of goes back and forth between some entrance music, but his old theme, that's a banger. That's the Kenny Omega theme I know and love. The Bucks had good quote unquote pyro with the dollar bills going off again. You know, I thought Josh Alexander looked really good in this match. The walking weapon lived up to his nickname. I thought everybody looked good in this match. Luchasaurus, I thought it was arguably his best performance since he's been back on TV. Jack Perry, I've been hard on him in the past, but he's looked real good lately in the ring. Kenny's Kenny. I mean, we got to be appreciative of what we get from Kenny every time we see him, because with his health, I don't know how much longer Kenny has in the ring, but man, when he's in there, he reminds me of why he's one of the best to ever do it. So smooth. So smooth. Fun match. Of course, the big storyline was what happened after the match. But the Bucks pulled the BT trigger on Jack Perry and Matt pinned him for the win. So the Bucks and Josh Alexander were to split $1 million three ways. After the match, most of the Don Callis family came to join the Bucks in the ring. Callis assumed that the Bucks were officially joined the Callis family, invite them to celebrate with their newly won money. So the Bucks get out of the ring with Callis, go back up the injuries ramp, but the rest of the family stay in the ring. They start attacking Kenny. Then the Bucks are hesitating. Callis grabs one of the bags of money. The Bucks ultimately decide to drop their own bags, run back to the ring. They fight off the Callis family, come to Omega's aid alongside Jurassic Express. And as Kenny made his way back to his feet, Matt and Nick extended their hands to Omega. He pushed their hands away, which I was hoping he'd do. So I'm like, oh, guys, you got to hug it out. Then he waved his hands in. Those three hugged. Huge response from the crowd, who was chanting, hug it out, by the way. And then the Callis family snuck away with all three bags of $1 million, not leaving any money for the Bucks. But Jurassic Express, the Bucks, and Kenny all raised each other's arms. And when they walked up the entrance ramp, they all went out the face tunnel. So, very good. So, yeah, looks like we're getting a reunion of the Elite, not only with Kenny, but it looks like the Bucks and Jack Perry have made up too. I don't know if this is a new version of the Elite where instead of Okada, we're getting Luchasaurus as part of the Elite. I don't know. I guess time will tell, but in the end, it's always good to see three of the founding fathers on the same page on television together. Good stuff. And Majin hits the nail on the head here. Even a 50 to 75% Kenny is better than the vast majority. Can't agree more. Mercedes and Statlander. I was kind of hoping this match would be two matches ahead of the main event of the steel cage match, but they put it right before it. Good match by both ladies. The right decision, as much as I like Mercedes Moné, the right decision was made. It's not the right time to take this title off Chris Statlander yet. She needs a little more time with her run. She looked really good in the ring. I mean, these ladies, if you remember, had a hell of a match last year at Full Gear for the TBS title. I still think Mercedes is going to get the strap eventually, but you got to start working the other titles off her, especially the TBS title, which I still think Athena's going to come back and be a force in that. Some of the other promotions, maybe she did the independent promotions. Like, I don't know what kind of budget they're working with. I'm assuming Mercedes either lowered her rate to appear on them, or maybe Tony just footed the bill for a lot of it. I don't know. So I don't know if they could afford her to even come back and drop some of these titles. So maybe she just voluntarily vacates them or drops them. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm real intrigued by the story of how she's going to start losing all these titles, because it's got to happen before she climbs up and gets that world title. But Statlander in the end hit the Saturday Night Fever for the win. So, yeah, it was good stuff. After that, we saw backstage of Takeshita and Okada blaming each other for things, and both announced they're in the C2. And then Kyle Fletcher coming up being pissed at both of them, saying, "Hey, where were you tonight when I needed you?" He puts his name in the C2 as well. So those are the only three participants we know as of right now at 8:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday night when I'm recording this. But the C2's got a bang. I mean, let's be honest. It's got to be great. So, yeah, I'm hoping, though, Callis slipped up when he said that this is for Okada's international championship. Because it better be for the United one. That's why I thought took the international championship and the Continental and fused it together with the lineage for the United. Like, that makes more sense to me. So hopefully he slipped up with his words there. Hopefully this isn't just for the international. And that means if Okada loses this whole thing, he still has the Continental and the United, because that's going to get way too freaking confusing. It's way too many belts. So, Majin. So Tony and Chris are the only two to not only beat, but pin Mercedes. Perfect. Yep. They have built Chris Statlander this year. We already knew how talented she was. I mean, she knocked off Jade years ago to be the only woman to defeat Jade in AEW when she took the TBS title off of her in what was Jade's last match with the company. But she's beat Tony to win the title this year. She's now beat Mercedes to defend a title. And like you said, Tony and Chris are now the only two women to defeat and pin Mercedes in the company in a singles match. So, I mean, Chris alone has knocked off your top two women on your roster, or arguably your top two women on the roster. That's how you build somebody. So good for her. And I liked her entrance last night. I won't spoil that for you, Majin. I'll let you check that out and see what I'm talking about. But Statlander's entrance was good last night. Pretty creative, I thought. In the main event, Hangman Adam Page versus Samoa Joe in a steel cage match, which is very bloody, especially Joe. I think it's safe to say he had a gusher, everybody. That dude was bleeding buckets. And I do want to take a moment and say I am so happy for Samoa Joe getting this last strong run of his career that he is in AEW, because WWE they did good things with him in NXT, but never gave the dude a huge chance on the main roster like they should have. Like, sure, he got main event matches and got title matches, but he never won them. He could easily dethrone Lesnar at one point, or AJ Styles in the Wendy storyline feud. Could easily put the strap on him. I'm glad to see AEW has the faith in Joe, not only as an on-screen talent, but a leader backstage, to put him in these main event roles and have faith in him to be the world champ and to carry the company, even if he's just a traditional champ like he was back between MJF and Swerve, even if he's just going to be a traditional champ now. What a better guy to make a traditional champ than Joe. So I just wanted to give him some flowers there and some props, because I've been a Samojo fan since his TNA days. I don't remember his ROH days. I wasn't watching then. I wasn't watching pro wrestling then at the time. But, yeah, I remember watching TNA before it was on Spike, when it was on Fox Sports 1, and the Samojo guy popping off the page, popping off the TV screen, and making me raise my eyebrows. I'm like, who is this fairly large dude doing all these athletic moves and just being a badass? And then he had so many good matches and so many good feuds in TNA. I hated seeing him leave for NXT when he did, but I understand his move. And I loved when Tony brought him into AEW on whatever ROH pay-per-view that was a few years ago. So he's been awesome. He's been awesome. So fun match, back and forth. Things got real interesting when we saw Shibata appear at ringside trying to scale the cage with Hangman's championship belt in hand. Then we saw Eddie Kingston run down, hit the ring, pull Shibata off the cage, start brawling with him to the back. And then we saw Hangman connect with a dead eye on Joe, but the referee was down because Hangman had him pinned for like 10 seconds. So then we saw Hobbs appear at ringside, ripped off the chain off the cage. Hobbs has been looking great lately. But Hangman got him out of the ring, got Hobbs out, but then Joe clinched in the clinic clutch on Page, but Hangman escaped, sent Joe crashing to the top turnbuckle. Hook ran down to ringside, looked to get the referee back up, who was Paul Turner, and he even said, come on, Paul, wake up. Then he grabs the title, looks at it, looks at the camera, smirks, turns around, boom, belt to Hangman's head, unzips his jacket. He has an Ops t-shirt underneath. And then Joe connects with a muscle buster on Hangman. 1, 2, 3. New AEW world champion, now two-time world champ, Samoa Joe. I was shocked by it. I had Hangman for 9. Pluggo had Hangman for 9. I think Shep had Hangman for 7 or 8. So, yeah, just shocked by it. I've seen a lot of people bitching and complaining about Hook's involvement. And I liked it. Hear me out. I'm not just trying to say this because I'm an AEW homer and AEW is my favorite promotion. People complain that AEW doesn't do enough with their homegrown talent. Hook's a homegrown AEW talent, right? Now, having him cost Hangman in the main event, having him reunite with the Ops that we never really got that loose end tied. We just saw him form a team with Eddie when Eddie came back, and he was just pissed that Joe, he was pissed at Joe for, you know, supposedly replacing him with Hobbs, but we never got that resolution. So now joining the Ops, he's going to be facing some of the top baby faces in the company, whether it be Hangman or Swerve or whoever it may be. I mean, that's a great spot for homegrown talent to be in. And now the Ops, I mean, the Death Riders are starting to crumble a little bit. The Ops have only just elevated and elevated and elevated. Now, in my opinion, they're looking like the top faction in AEW. Not only is Joe the world champ, and you know, when you have the world champ in your faction is going to be that much stronger, but also they're the trios champs, which, interesting enough, maybe they take that trios title off Joe, and now Hook, it becomes Hook, Shibata, and Hobbs. I don't know. They could easily do that, kind of freebird it. So I had no problem. I mean, it was a shock factor too. If you would have told me Joe was going to be Hangman, I would say, nah, I think you're wrong, for one. And two, if you would have told me Hook was going to turn heel, I wouldn't have believed you. So I thought he and Eddie were going to, I honestly thought they might make a run at the tag team titles eventually. And now I'm intrigued, like, how pissed off is Eddie going to be? Eddie's going to try to murder Hook. And Majin saying he had Hook turning. Well, okay, Majin, maybe you are really Nostradamus. So I didn't see that coming. I thought we were going to get more life out of him and Eddie. So, but right there's a feud. Eddie and Hook, sign me up. I think that's fun. Taz was cheering it on social media. So when Taz comes back, maybe we'll get full-on heel commentator Taz. That'd be interesting. I don't know when he's going to come back from his surgery. So I was for, I mean, that, it was just a shocking moment to me. Not only Hook turning and costing Hangman, but Joe ultimately winning. I just didn't see that coming. I thought Hangman would lose at World's End to MJF. I thought MJF was going to return last night after the conclusion of the main event, but that was not the return we got. Instead, when the lights went out, they came back on. Crowd was cheering. I'm assuming we saw Nana come out on stage before the camera picked him up, because then the lights went out again, and we saw on the Tron the burning of the house, ultimately, you know, showing Hangman burning Swerve's childhood home. And then Nana came out, we saw him, and then Swerve came out to a new entrance music, which I like the start of it, and I'm sure the whole song will grow on me. But it's too bad they took the "I Swerve When I Drive" part out, because Nana's swerving dance doesn't really go in rhythm with the song. They'll have to work on that a little bit, but it still has "Whose House, Swerve's House." It has that cadence at the start. And great to see Swerve back. I figured he was coming back. I figured he'd come back before the end of the year. I thought maybe it'd be at World's End. Like I said, I thought MJF's return would happen last night, and it didn't. But I'm a big Swerve fan. I mean, look behind me. I met the guy earlier this year at Squared Circle Expo, and he was, you know, I got the photo op with him, and then he signed one of my figures of him. So I've always liked Swerve. I think he's so talented. Dude looks more jacked now than he has. It looked like he's gained some muscle and some weight. So, yeah, ultimately looks like he's probably going to be challenging Joe. Now, does Hangman get involved? Do we have a three-way at World's End? We could. Joe thought Swerve was going to attack Hangman, so he told his dojo guys, he spread them out and said, "Here's Hangman for you." But instead, Swerve fought off the whole dojo guys, and at the end, we get a shot of Hangman and Swerve side by side looking towards the ops back up on the ramp. So we've talked about this ad nauseum on this podcast, how Swerve and Hangman are going to be tied at the hips throughout their whole career in AEW. And their stories, you keep just adding layers and chapters to it. So this is another one. Like, will Hangman have Swerve's back as much as Swerve had Hangman's back at All In when he dethroned Moxley and the Death Riders? Be interesting to see. Be interesting to see. Comment here on YouTube, having the silhouette of Nana there added to the moment. Yep, absolutely. And good to see Nana back. I mean, I'm glad they kept him away from TV while Swerve was away from TV. I think that adds to the character. Absolutely, in the partnership there. So yeah, we'll see. World's End coming up a little over a month away from Chicago. Imagine that. Chicago getting another big AEW show. At least it's not All Out this time. But, yeah, Joe, assuming he keeps it at least that long, which he will, he'll be defending against either just Swerve or maybe, like I said, maybe Swerve or Hangman. It's going to be interesting. I'm pretty pumped for Dynamite coming up on Thanksgiving Eve on Wednesday, and the fallout from Full Gear, and seeing what direction we're going with a lot of these stories and with a lot of the new champions. We had three new champions crowned Full Gear. New world champion, TNT champion, and tag team champion. We'll be finding out who's the inaugural women's tag team champion soon. I mean, you got C2 starting. A lot of moving parts going on with AEW. A lot of moving parts. So good stuff. But overall, I really enjoyed Full Gear. I think they're not going to, I mean, more times than not, AEW delivers with their pay-per-views. The only one I've said, in my opinion, dating back to 2019, 2020 All Out was a miss. But other than that one, I think some stronger than others, but majority of them have delivered. And this one, it's probably my number two for 2025. It's always tough for me I have to really go back and look and rewatch some of them. But I think All In is probably my number one, followed by this one for 2025. But that's one thing we'll do it in December. I'm hoping one of our episodes won't be so much as running down what happened that week of, and AEW will be actually doing a year in review. And then of course we're going to do our end of 2026 title holder predictions, like we always do every year, which is fun. We'll be doing that show too, as well. We'll look back to see who we predicted at the end of 2024 to be champions at the end of this year. And we'll look how badly we all did. And then we'll make our predictions for 2026. As far as who will be holding the titles, along with some bold predictions as well. So be on the lookout for that in December. But I think that's all I got tonight, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to tonight's episode with just me and an episode I went a little earlier than our normal time slot of 8:30. But really appreciate everybody who engaged tonight and makes it a lot more enjoyable for me when I'm doing these pods solo. So I hope you enjoyed Full Gear. And if you haven't watched it fully, I hope you get a chance to catch up on it and enjoy it. And hopefully you'll enjoy AEW this week with Dynamite and Collision. And hopefully everybody who celebrates has a happy Thanksgiving on Thursday. And if you're not already doing so, give the Kicking Out Podcast a follow at Kicking Out Pod on X, Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, and of course, we got a YouTube channel. Hit subscribe there as well. You can follow all three of us on X and Instagram. I'm at TannerLee92. Shep is at TheShep27. And Paul Zartman's at PaulZartman87. And if you're listening to this podcast on your favorite audio podcast platform, please make sure you're following or subscribed. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating and review. That really, really helps us out. And it's a free way to support our podcast. But if you do want to be kind enough and spend some of your hard-earned money and support our podcast, you can do that two different ways. You can go to kickingoutshop.com, where we have t-shirts, we have hoodies, we have zip-ups, we have drinkware, we have tank tops, and a little bit of everything on there. And also pro wrestling tees. We have t-shirts on there that are all of them except one design are exclusive just to pro wrestling tees on there. We even have a Christmas design. So if you're looking for a Christmas-themed wrestling shirt, go to Pro Wrestling Tees and type in Kicking Out Podcast and do that as well. I actually just made a order off Kicking Out Shop for myself, hoping I get a new KOP shirt to wear at Dynamite and Fishers coming up December 3rd. Now, will I get it before then? That's another story. I don't know. But I made an order for that and some drinkware that I could have my drinks on here, even if it's just a plastic water bottle. I can have it in a KLP mug to drink. So Modern says, yes, happy Thanksgiving to my American friends. We appreciate that. We appreciate that from north of the border. And as always, everybody, have a good week. And see you next week when we kick out, get another podcast.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.